We're going to start a series on looking at the foundations that we have in faith. And really, we're going to go through, starting today, with Hebrews chapter 11. And growing up in youth group, it was always referred to as the Hall of Faith, almost like a Hall of Fame. So over the next, I want to say, 9 weeks, we're going to look at some stories. And we're going to tie them into our lives. We're going to go through faith and really break down the faith of those that we see in the scriptures before, up until even now. And what I want us to do, though, is to realize that faith has to be a huge part of our lives. I mean, really, plain and simple, as Christians, we call it Christian faith, but really, do we have faith? And so as we gather today and start this series, the question that I ask basically is this: what is faith? And some of you may have answers. Some of you may have ideas. Some of you probably will quote Hebrews 11:1 and tell me that that's your answer. And I mean, yes, that is an answer. But I don't believe that we fully understand what Hebrews 11:1 is. That's just a cop-out. That's just where we start. That's really the bare bones. Like, if we don't fully understand what Hebrews 11:1 is saying, are we really understanding what true faith really is today? Well, let me put it to you in this way. A couple of stories, maybe. One would be a story about this college professor who really believed in science, and guy told about the pendulum. And some of you may have heard this story before, but how the law of a pendulum is that it will never go back to exactly where it was, and it's always shorter every time it swings. And this guy was teaching the class about it, and he was up there and he was telling the story, and this older professor was sitting in the front row, and he just kept praising him about the law of the pendulum. He said, you know, that's fantastic. That's awesome. You know, just praising him for it. And he said, all right, well then let me do this. And he takes a table and puts it up against the wall, puts a chair up, and he raises that pendulum up to just in front of the professor's nose and says, all right, you believe in the law of the pendulum? And he says, yes. He says, you have faith in the law of the pendulum? He says, yes. And then the professor just lets it go. And as it's coming back to him, he jumps out of the chair and runs off the table. And then he looks at the class and says, did he have faith in the law of the pendulum? Because based on the law that he had just been praising, it should have stopped just short of his nose. Just like where it was released, it would have never gotten back to that point. But I ask you today, do you say you believe, do you say you have faith in something, but then you run when that circumstance happens in your life? And you take off and you get yourself out of the way. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made out of things which do appear. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for allowing us to come into your house again, Lord. We pray that your hand would be on this service, that you would just touch each heart today how you see fit. And Lord, I pray that these words not be my words, but your words. I just lift all these things up to you now in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. And, you know, what I want to take a few days, a few weeks to look at is faith in that, where we can talk about giving faith, we can talk about beneficial faith, we can talk about misunderstood faith, and it's all right here in Hebrews chapter 11. If you want to prepare yourself for the next few weeks, go ahead and read. Go ahead and read Hebrews chapter 11. Go ahead and study it on your own. See what it says to you. And as we go through this, what I want us to see is that faith is a vital part of who we are as Christians. Faith is a vital part of who you are as a believer in Christ. I mean, we could go through the same little small checklist that everybody goes through and we can list all the reasons that we have faith in this or faith in that. The truth is, you know, when we break down this verse and we break down these three verses in such a way, it is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Do we really understand what that means? Do we really understand what faith, this definition of faith that we constantly use, truly is? You know, faith is the substance of what things we hope for. It's the assurance that our hopes are going to come to fruition. Now, I can explain this one sentence and we can just leave and go on about our day. But I want you to see that there's a lot more to faith than just this assurance of things that we hope for. Now, what does it mean that it's the assurance of things that we hope for? It's our way of saying that we know these things will happen. We have faith that these things will happen. How many times has the teacher told us not to use the word in the definition? But truly, that's all faith is. It's the only way to look at faith. You have to use the word in the definition because we understand what faith is in many ways, just simply based on the fact that it's faith. There's no definition required. There's no definition that can help us to realize what faith is other than just to live it and experience it. It's faith is the evidence of things that are not seen. You know, faith is the evidence of what we can look out the window. We don't know that the wind's blowing other than we see the trees move. But we have faith that that is the wind. I mean, we don't know that God exists, but we do because we have faith. You see what I'm saying? Today, we have faith in things that we cannot see. We have faith in things that are around us. We have faith in others that are around us. And yet, one of the things that we realize is that we have faith maybe in things that we shouldn't have faith in sometimes. Or our faith is broken. Because we have faith in someone or something that lets us down. So as we go through today, I want to explain to you what faith is. I want to kind of help us to understand where it comes from. Maybe where it goes, how we can apply it to our lives, and how we can take and make our lives better by understanding the faith that we truly do have. Now, if we continue to break down these verses that we opened up with, if we continue to go through these verses here in Hebrews chapter 11, it says, "For by it, which is faith, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." Now, what in the world could that even mean? That the worlds were framed and the things that we see were not made by things which appear. Folks, if you ever needed anything to fight evolution with, this is the verse. Hebrews 11:3. That's the only verse. And the reason I say that is simply this. It's basically saying that we have faith that the things that are created, that we see around us today, the things that are within us, the things that are out there, everything in this world was not made by things that we can see. It wasn't built by things that are around. It didn't come from something smaller. God designed man. He formed man with his own hands out of the dust. And he breathed life into it. God created us with his own hands. He spoke the world into being, the trees, the grass, the mountains, you name it. He made this world just simply by saying, "Yo, let there be," and there was. So if you ever needed an argument to understand that, that is what Hebrews 11:3 truly is. It's just simply a statement of faith saying that through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Through faith, not because of faith, but through faith, so that we can understand that we find ourselves in many situations daily where we have to have faith that it's happening a certain way. Now, truthfully, what we can do is we find ourselves in daily situations. Let me kind of relate this to you on a smaller scale for a moment. How many of you had faith when you got in your car this morning that it would start? You thought you had enough gas. You thought maybe but you had faith that it was, when you turned the key, it was going to come on. Or maybe when you turned on the faucet this morning, you just had faith that you would have water. And, you think about that today, or, maybe if you grabbed a jacket this morning, you have faith that if the rain comes, it's going to hold the water off of you or keep you warmer. You go through those situations in your head. If we didn't have faith in those things working, we would do something to fix it. Am I right? I mean, if you didn't think you had enough gas to make it through the next 2 days, you'd go get gas. I don't know where you'd find it right now, but you'd go get gas. But the thing is that we have these situations in our lives where we have faith in things because they've always worked before, or it's always been this way or that way, and we want to put our faith in that. I mean, when we get in the car and we turn the key or we push the button, I had to throw that one in for you, Tammy. When we get in the car, we have faith that it's going to start. And when it doesn't, we begin to wonder what's going on. And faith truly is one of these things that, we put into a lot of things in life, but yet we don't see how that pays out because we don't put our faith in the right things. Why do we have so much trouble when it comes to our Christian walk and putting faith in the things that we know we should, when we have no trouble at all putting it into material things? We have no trouble at all putting it into the things around us, the people around us, the family members, whatever it might be. Today, I really want to dive into how we can find our faith and how we can understand what it is and put it into practice. I mean, it's that simple. Now, I want to break it down in three ways for us this morning. Turn with me to Romans chapter 10. And Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." If you continue on there in verse 18, it says, "But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the earth. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Esaias is very bold and saith," and that's Isaiah, "I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people." But if we go back there, 17, it says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I don't think it can say it any clearer than that. Faith comes from hearing. So the first thing I want you to realize about faith today is this, that we have to hear it. We have to hear, and when we hear, it ignites our faith. We hear the word of God read. We hear someone talk about what God has done in their life, and it ignites our faith. It ignites us to be after God in a way that is beautiful, in a way that is, it's acquired. For us to acquire this faith, we have to turn to God's word. That's plain and simple all there is to it. We have to turn to God's word to ignite our faith, to see God do great things in our lives today, and it becomes a development in our personal relationship with Christ. Now, for us to even have a personal relationship with Christ, we do have to understand faith at some point, because we're having a relationship with someone we can't see, someone that we don't have standing next to us right now, at least not in a form we can see. And we have to have faith that he's there. We have to have faith that he's doing great things for us. But if our faith isn't rooted in the promises that God has made to us, if it's not rooted in the promises that Christ made to us, when he said he would send a helper, if we're not rooted in what God has said throughout the ages of time, then what we find ourselves, we've realized that we don't have scriptural faith at all. And what I mean by that is that we have the scripture, which tells us who God is. It tells us what he's done And it tells us how he acts in our lives today. Don't believe me? Pick it up and read it and find out for yourself. But it does give us an idea of who God is in our lives today. And as we look and see what this faith is and we hear God's word, it ignites us into a point where we want to hear more, where we want to read more, we want to do more. And if it's not rooted in God's promises for you and I today, then are we truly rooted where we need to be rooted? Are we truly seeking to find foundation in God's word? If we're not fully functioning in scriptural faith, if we're not fully activating our faith or igniting our faith through the scripture, and as we hear God's word, we realize that the second thing that we have to do today is to speak about God's word, to speak about what he's doing in our lives. You hear it from others, and it ignites your faith, and then when you begin to speak about it, it begins to activate your faith, because then you begin to talk about how great God is, how much he's done. You talk about the things that he's done in your life. And if you don't believe me about that, turn to Joshua. Let's go back into the Old Testament a little bit. We can learn from that too. And we will, trust me, over the next few weeks. But Joshua chapter 1, verses 7 and 8 says, "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. The book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein night and day, and thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." It says the word of the law. The law is the scripture. It is what God has given them. And it says it shall not leave your mouth. So if we want to activate our faith, we must speak God's word. We must speak it. And truly, it's something that we can do when we speak about the promises that he's made. It's something that we can do when we speak his word over many different areas of our lives. There's a couple of different ways we can view us speaking God's word. One, we can speak and say that God has done great things for us. But today, did you realize that we can speak victory over things? I mean, Jesus did. And we'll talk about that in a little bit, but think about it. We can speak over our families. We can speak over our friends and our circumstances and situations. We can speak God over our relationships. We can speak God over our job. We can speak God over our home. We can speak over anything that we have that comes and faces us in life. We can speak God over that. Don't believe me? Let's go back to Joshua chapter 1 and read verse 9. It says, "Have I not commanded thee, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." So anything you face in life, any trouble that you might come across, anything that becomes a problem in your life, God's with you. So speak God over it. Claim the victory in God. You don't have to claim defeat to the things of this world. So when we speak God over our circumstances, over our situations, we find that God is doing great things within us. That doesn't necessarily mean that we walk up and say, "I speak God over you," and then walk away. It means that we pray over it. It means that we claim victory over it. It means that we don't give in to what the world tells us is wrong with us. Because in all reality, what the world is telling you is wrong is more than likely what is right. Because the world can't stand to see something. John chapter 3 talks about it. You get beyond John 3, 16 and 17, and you start to see how the world feels about God's people. I mean, Jesus was speaking these words. You know, John 3, 16 and 17, we know them. We've talked about them. We've probably learned them at some point. John 3, 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." John 3, 17, "God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." But then you get into 3, 18, 19, 20, 21, and you start to see that Jesus was the light that came into the darkness, and the darkness the world shunned him because they love to live in darkness. Because the light exposes the sin. The light exposes someone for who they really are. But those who believe come into the light on their own. They come into the light so that they can be exposed, so that they can live a life that they're called to live. That is faith. To step out of the darkness and into the light is faith. And that also leads to the third thing. You can hear, you can speak, and you can do. We have to be doers today. James chapter 2 verse 18 speaks to that. And we just finished the book of James on Sunday nights. But James 2:18 says, "Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." It doesn't mean that we have to give in to the things that are around us. I spoke with someone the other day, and they were asking me how they could talk to someone who was in a church, and all they wanted to talk about is their works. And they said that their works were all that was going to get them to heaven. And I told them to go to this verse. I said, you know, it has to work together. They can't work apart. You can talk about having faith, but if you don't do anything about it, no one knows that you have faith. They can't see it in action. And you can talk about all the works you do, but if you don't talk about why you do them, no one knows why you have faith. They have to go together. I'm not saying brag about who you are. I'm saying brag about who He is. Don't brag about what you've done today. Brag about what God's done through you. Brag about the opportunities that He's given you. For us to see faith in action, we must demonstrate that faith. So for us to do faith, we have to demonstrate it. We can't just go through life and assume that somebody's going to get it because we didn't speak it or we didn't show them. Truthfully, if we're not willing to speak God's grace, if we're not willing to speak about our faith, and we're not willing to do anything about our faith because it might offend someone, do we understand truly what faith is today? Why should we try to apply these things in our lives? How will it help us? And as we look at these over the next few weeks, I think we're going to see stories that are going to help us to do that. But what I want us to also understand is that they did faith even when they didn't understand it. I mean, we're going to have stories like Abel, stories like Noah, stories like Elijah. You know, I mean, it's the hall of faith. Abraham, there's a whole section on Abraham. And we'll spend a couple of weeks on Abraham. And the thing about Abraham is that he constantly was doing without having any knowledge of how the outcome was going to be. What about us today? We don't know what tomorrow holds. We can't tell God what He's going to do for us. We have to listen to see what He's going to do. And then we tell others what He did. We can't tell them what He's going to do for us tomorrow unless He's promised us what He's going to do. And then if we root our faith in God's promises, yes, we can talk about it. We do know that we will have eternal life. We do know that we will go to heaven. We know those things because we have faith in those things. Because that's what the Scripture tells us. You know, for us to explain it today, I want to just take a moment to look at this one life. One life in Scripture. And I think it's the one that will explain to us what faith is the easiest. We're going to start easy and then we'll work our way to the harder ones. And I want us to look at the life of Jesus. And some of you might be sitting there thinking today, okay, Jesus was God's son. He had that going for him. We don't, but we do. Because we are the children of God, am I right? He calls us children. He calls us family. He calls us friends. He calls us all of those things. I mean, Jesus had nothing more than we did when it comes to the relationship with God because He was God's Son. He was conceived of a virgin, born and lived a perfect life. That's all He had going for Him differently than what we do today because we were made heirs with Christ. It doesn't say that we were made heirs under Christ. It says we were made heirs with Christ. We have the same inheritance. We have the same eternal life. We have the same circumstances coming in our lives that he did in his. He faced troubles, and he constantly told his followers that they would face troubles. He didn't ask us to live a life that was any different than his. And he lived a life that was completely similar to ours. But let's break it down into these three sections that I've just talked about in the life of Christ and see how it applies to you today, maybe. You know, hearing. We can look back to Luke chapter 2, verse 52. Or actually around verse 52. We see when Jesus was 12, he was in the temple. And what was he doing? He was listening to the scholars. But he was also talking to the scholars. So really, that's both of the first two. At 12, don't let it be because you're young that you think that your faith doesn't apply in this church. Just because you're young doesn't mean you don't have faith that God can do great things. It doesn't mean that you can't be an example to someone else because of the faith that you have in a circumstance or situation. Age has nothing to do with your faith today. Faith starts with hearing. Faith begins when you ignite your passion for Christ through the hearing of what God can do in your life. Jesus heard and ignited a passion within him, and he took that into a ministry. It started when he was 12, sitting in a temple, asking questions of the teachers. They were answering the questions. He was giving answers to them, and they were amazed at what he was doing because his faith in God was so strong. Now, it's funny that that same crowd that was amazed at a 12-year-old would put the 33-year-old on a cross. But, you know, that's kind of how it works. Jesus heard and ignited his faith. He then spoke and activated his faith. And we see that in the Sermon on the Mount. We see that throughout his ministry. Jesus was constantly speaking. He was preaching sermons. He was doing and going out and healing. I mean, if we put them all together, what we see is that the healings of Christ not only required the speaking of Christ, but it also required action on the part of someone else. He told them to go and sin no more. He told them to go and tell someone. He told them to go and do an action to be able. Most of the time it required them to get up on their own. If they were lame and couldn't walk, Jesus said, rise and walk. It always required an action of faith to trust that Christ had truly healed them. To show that they had faith, just as he did, that they were fully healed. Jesus told them to do these things because faith requires action. Faith requires active. It requires an activity on our part for us to fully embrace and understand what it is. We see a number of times that he calmed storms, he healed people, and he shared his faith throughout all of those. And then when we see Jesus do things, we see Jesus do the actions that he spoke about. We see him put into action the faith that he has said he had all along. Faith in a father. Faith in a life that was beyond this life on this earth. Faith in his father. Faith that his father could unify man and God. That his father could unify us to the kingdom. I mean, you see that in John 17 in the prayer that he prayed. When he was facing death, Jesus was praying for everyone but Jesus. He then asked that if there was a way for the cup to be removed, please do. But not my will, yours be done. He didn't care if it meant death for him. Talk about faith. He had faith that God's plan would be accomplished. He had faith that God would accomplish what he set out to do. And if you don't believe that, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Yes, I'm skipping the entire chapter of 11 right now, but we will be going through it. But Hebrews chapter 12 says, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, and that cloud of witnesses would be the ones that are listed in chapter 11, or maybe the ones sitting next to you today, let us lay aside every weight and sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God, at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as children. My son, despise thou not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Do you feel guilty for things you've done in life today? It's part of your faith. Do you feel guilty for the things? I'm not saying God wants you to feel guilty, but it says don't worry about it if you do. Because it's part of your faith. It's part of who you are. Are there things in your life that cause you struggles each day? The reason you feel guilt for them is because you don't turn them over. Because you still hold on to them. And God chastises you. He works in your life. But our faith is dependent upon Christ today. He is the author and the perfecter. The author and the finisher. He perfected in us the work which was started out at the beginning of time. Think about it. God created this world with Adam and Eve. Sin came in. They partook of the fruit. They began to live a life that had sin in it. And each generation following that was born into sin. At some point or another, they had to face a choice and they made the wrong one. Each one of us has done that too. That doesn't mean forgiveness isn't available to us today, because Jesus Christ came and died on a cross and he perfected what God set out to do. Because his blood washes over us. His blood makes us pure. His blood gives us the opportunity to be one with God. We're unified with God. We're unified with Christ in his death because he died for our sin. So maybe our faith has a lot to do with our salvation. What is faith? Faith is being sure of what you hope for. Faith is being certain that what you believe will happen will happen. Faith is being absolutely positive that God's going to follow through on his promises that he's made to you and I today. Faith is more than just a name. Faith is actually a lifestyle that we live today. If we claim to be Christians, if we claim to have Christ in our hearts, we have faith that he's there. And we can understand that. We can hold true to that. And we realize that he is the author and the perfecter of our faith, which means that he wrote it, he created it, and he perfected it in Christ Jesus. He took us from the beginning to the end. And the end happened when Christ died on the cross, because then death had no stand. Satan had no victory. Satan could not and would not win because of the blood of Christ. You know, A.W. Tozer said, "The Bible recognizes no faith that does not lead to obedience, nor does it recognize any obedience that does not spring from faith. The two are opposite sides of the same coin." If we have faith and we're not obedient to God's word, or if we claim obedience and we live by the law, but we don't have faith, they're the same coin. They have to go together. There's no possible way that you can take a quarter out of your pocket unless you bought it at a trick shop that has two heads on it. There's a head and a tails. And it has both of those sides make up one coin. Faith and obedience, faith and works, go together. So today, hear what God's doing. Do you need to practice your faith? Do you need to put it into practice and allow Christ to author your faith? Hear what I'm saying. Hear God's word today. Speak God's word. Speak his authority. Speak God over your life. And do the things you need to do. You know, it could come in the form of you doing what you say you need to do. You doing what you say you do and letting others see that. But our faith needs to be lived out today. What does your faith look like? Hopefully over the next few weeks we'll be able to see how to activate and ignite our faith and to put it into action and demonstrate it through the demonstration of faith that we see in others in the Scripture. This hall of faith that we're going to be looking at. But hopefully today, you need to understand that for you to understand how they demonstrated their faith, you kind of need to ignite and activate your faith. For you to understand how demonstration works, you need to ignite and activate what's alive in you today. So, as we close out this morning, I ask, where does your faith stand? Is faith more than just Hebrews 11:1 to you? Is faith more than just this hope that you have? Because if we expound on that and say that it is the substance of things that we hope for, but we also realize that it's the evidence of things that we do not see, and we realize that the things we do not see are much greater than the things that we ever try to explain. Folks, one of the greatest single things in the world today that has caused us problems is the fact that we have to feel the need to explain everything by what we understand. Sometimes faith takes the understanding before the knowledge. We don't have to understand. We don't have to know how something works to know it works. I mean, I'm sure that many of you in here today don't know how a car works other than turn the key and it comes on. And if you don't, that's okay, but as long as it works, you know it works and you can go where you need to go. Faith's much the same way. Just because you're not a mechanic doesn't mean you can't drive a car. I mean, there's no prerequisite that says that you have to be able to fix the car. Well, some dads may. Okay. But there's no prerequisite that says that you have to be able to fix a car to be able to drive the car. To be honest with you, there's no prerequisite that says you have to understand faith. Just because you have faith, it's truly self-explanatory. If you believe in something you do not see, then you have faith and you understand that you believe in that that you do not see. So as we wrap up today, if you feel the need to activate and ignite your faith, don't leave here without doing it. Don't leave here without finding how your faith can start hearing God's word and seeing it apply to your life. So come as we sing hymn number 51. But don't hesitate to see God move in your life. Don't hesitate to see what He can do and the great things that He can do for you. You can stand. We'll sing hymn number 51, Without Him.